I was at the house of Simon the leper, and it was there a woman came and anointed me with an alabaster box of costly ointment. She was preparing me for my burial, and some of my disciples were indignant. They thought that could have been sold and given to the poor. But I said that what this woman has done will not be taken away from her. And everywhere that the gospel is preached, this story will be told of that woman and her gift. And it was from Bethany, the Passover was approaching. And I told my disciples to go to a house and to inquire of the place that was prepared, furnished, where we could celebrate the Passover. And I want to invite you to celebrate the Passover with us right now. You might know this as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper. But these elements here are a picture of the price that I paid to set mankind free from sin. There were many times where I told my disciples how I was the bread of life. I was the bread that was sent down from heaven. I was the manna that came from above. I told my disciples how I desired to share this supper with you. The Lord desires to fellowship with you. He desires to commune with you. I desire so much. And the Lord doesn't change. So we have these elements here. They represent the sacrifice that I did. Because my word says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The price for sin had to be paid. Blood had to be shed. That's what my Father required. He required a sacrifice. When man fell, he tried to cover himself, but that was unacceptable. A sacrifice needed to be made. So they were covered with skins of animal. These elements speak of healing. Just as much as I want people forgiven, I want them healed. One time I encountered a man. I was in a house, and the place was full, and there was no room. And these men climbed up on the rooftop, and they dropped a paralyzed man right in front of me. And I told him that his sins were forgiven. Now, the religious leaders of that time, they thought, who else could forgive sin but the Son of God? But I wanted them to know, which is it easier to say, arise and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven? But I wanted to do that so that you would know that I have power on earth to forgive sin. These elements speak of intimacy. The kingdom of God is all about relationship. It's about restoring a relationship that was lost with my Father. Fellowship, relationship. That's what this is all about, these elements. And these elements are finally about deliverance from sin. They represent the Passover lamb. When I came on the scene, John, who was baptizing in the wilderness, he declared, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. So I want to invite you to share in this meal with me. I knew what I came on this earth to do. I came to give my life a ransom for many. But yet, in my last moments, I wanted to spend time with those closest to me, my disciples. So I want you to come and join me in this meal. as I sat with my disciples. I knew what was coming, but many of them did not. This came. I tried to tell them at different times. I told them that if they would tear down this temple, I would raise it in 3 days. I told them that I have to suffer and die. But they will soon understand. When I was at the table with my disciples, I took bread and I broke it, and I gave thanks and I said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given up or broken for you." And then I took the cup. I said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." I told them, I said, "I'm not going to drink it until I drink it new in my Father's kingdom when it comes. But this is for the forgiveness of sin." And as I instructed them, I said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us take and drink. It was after we ate the Last Supper that I then took my disciples to the garden. You know, it was a garden where man lost his relationship with my Father, and it was a garden where I would fight to gain it back. And my disciples and I, we gathered in the garden. And I took my three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. James and John were the sons of Zebedee. And I brought them in to where I was going to pray. I said, "I'm going to go over there and I'm going to pray." And they were with me. But my soul began to be sorrowful. And I began to be heavy. And I prayed and I said, "Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. But not my will, yours be done." And so I prayed and I came to where my disciples were, but they were asleep. And I looked at them and I said, "Could you not tarry with me 1 hour?" And because of the heaviness, I began to pray again. My Father sent an angel and he ministered unto me. I began to sweat as if great drops of blood. I was in travail. Because number one, I was about to become sin. For the first time, I was about to be separated from my Father. And my flesh knew what it was going to, it didn't want to go through. And I had to struggle and fight. I knew God's will, but I had to pray through. And the second time, I came back to my disciples and they were asleep again. And I said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now, one of my closest disciples, Peter, I had warned him how Satan wants to sift him. But I told him, I said, "I prayed that your faith fail not. And when you return, strengthen your brethren." But one more time, I cried out and I said the same words as before. "My God, if this cup can pass from me, not my will, but yours be done. If it can't pass, then so be it." The hour was come. Satan had already put it in one of my disciples, Judas, to betray me. And I came to the disciples who were asleep, and I said, "Arise, the hour is come. My betrayer is at hand. And there came a group, Judas leading the way. We were there in the garden. And Judas came up to me. And I looked at him and I said, "Would you betray a friend with a kiss?" And Judas kissed me. And it was from there that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders and all the council came with their clubs and with their staves. And I said, "Did you come out for a thief with clubs and stave?" And then one of my disciples took his sword out and he struck the servant of the high priest. He cut his ear off. And I put his ear back on for him, and I told him to put away his sword. Because if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And there, I was arrested. And there I was brought to the house of the high priest, Caiaphas. And it was there that the elders of Israel, all the scribes, gathered, and they inquired of me. They asked me questions. They had many false witnesses against me, but they couldn't find any false witness that could stick. And finally, two came up, and they said how I told that I would tear down this temple. But they were false witnesses. They weren't real. And so the false priest wanted to put me to death. They were against me. See, Judas, he had agreed with them to betray me for 30 pieces of silver. Maybe he thought things would be different, but I had to go through because everything I did to fulfill the scriptures. As I said, I came to fulfill the word. I came to fulfill the law and not to do away with it. So as they were asking me questions, I held my peace. I didn't say a word. And finally, they were indignant. And they said that I had blasphemed. And so the high priest, he adjured me to tell me whether or not I was the Christ, the Son of God. And I held my peace. Then he tore his clothes. And they said, "We don't need any more questions." And while I was there, the council, the Sanhedrin, they put a blindfold on me. They struck me in the face with their hands. Some hit me with the palm of their hands. They spit on me. And they told me, they said, "Prophesy. Tell us who hit you." They mocked me. Little did they know that it was for that very reason why I came. I came to seek out and save that which was lost. I came to give my life a ransom for many. I came to be a sacrifice. Then they took me, in the morning they took me to Pilate, the governor of that area. And the whole multitude followed us there. And when I was brought to Pilate's chamber, the council said, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying he himself is Christ the King." Pilate asked me, he said, "Are you King of the Jews?" I told him, "You say I am." Pilate looked at the council and he said, "I find no fault in this man." And the people were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." Now when Pilate found out that I was from Galilee, he knew that Herod was in the area. And Herod was at Jerusalem at that time, so he said, "Since you're from Galilee, you can go see Herod," because Herod was over that part. And Herod had always wanted to see me. He thought that I would perform a miracle for him. Similar to when Satan tempted me in the wilderness, he said, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And I told him, I said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And so Herod had his sport. He put a garment on me. He mocked me with his soldiers. And he sent me back to Pilate. And Pilate did his best to free me. But no one could take my life. I've come to lay my life down. And Pilate, he washed his hands of the whole situation. He found no fault in me. He found nothing wrong. But yet the people were vehement and they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." They said, "We want Barabbas, who was a murderer." And then Pilate said, "What shall I do with Jesus?" They said, they began to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." So before being crucified, they put a crown of thorns on me, and soldiers bowed to me. When they put that crown of thorns on me, blood flowed from my head. Not to mention the times when the beatings that I took previously. When the soldiers put the crown of thorns on me, they put a reed in my hand and they bowed. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they took that reed and they struck me in the head many times. But little did they know that that blood was for them. That shed blood was for them. It was for you. It was for all of mankind. They stripped me. They scourged me. They whipped me. Isaiah the prophet says in Isaiah 50 verse 6, tells about how they plucked the beard out of my face. And I did not turn from being spit in the face. I did not turn from the shame. It was things that I had to go through. Every part of my body that bled, it broke the curse that was on the earth when sin came in this world. Every part. I bled from my brow, which broke the curse. The crucifixion. See, my father so loved people that he sent me to die. And this cross was where I paid the price for sin. This cross was where I took sin and I nailed it and I destroyed it once and for all. This cross. And they made me carry my own cross to the place where they were going to crucify me. It was a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. It was the place where Abraham sacrificed his only son, Isaac. It was the place where Solomon built the first temple. And it was at that place that God chose to pay the penalty for sin. And along the way, as I was weak and weary, they got a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene to help me carry the cross. And he stepped in from the crowd and he helped me. And finally, the penalty for sin was paid. The crucifixion was finished. And finally, some of my last words on the cross, I said, "It is finished. I have done all that I can do to restore the fellowship with man." The work was complete. The debt was paid. Man owed a debt he could not pay. I paid a debt I did not owe. Because I love you. It was there on that cross where I gave up the ghost. I committed my spirit into the hands of God. But the cross is not the ending. Because after the cross, they took me down from the cross, they put me in the tomb, and I was there. And then came the third day. Then came the third day where an earthquake came and God sent his angel. He removed the stone and I rose again. And I live to make intercession for you. Death couldn't hold me down. The devil couldn't stop me. But I am risen, just as I said I would. And now I sit on the right hand of my Father, and I ever live to make intercession for you. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. I'm saying you can make it. You can do all things because I strengthened you. I'm now sitting on the right hand of my Father. I presented my blood to him before the mercy seat. I paid the debt. See, when I rose from the grave, Mary was the first one at the tomb. And I told her that you can't touch me because I have to present my blood before the Father. I conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I hold the keys. And to whoever I give a copy, I give a copy to the keys. I give you my victory. I give you the ability to triumph. Your debt has been paid. Your sins are forgiven. You have been made free through my blood and through my sacrifice. And it's once and for all. And Jesus said, when he came to little children, he said, "Let the little kids come unto me." And he would bless them. He would bless them. He blessed them. He blessed them. He blessed them. And because of what I did, you can live now too. The word says that if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He will make you alive. If we suffer with him, you shall also live with him and reign with him. Hallelujah. The first man, Adam, if you're in the first man, Adam, all men die. But in the second man, Adam, Christ, all men live. The cross, as tragic as it was but for a moment. But the resurrection will be forever. And when you get to heaven, you'll see my scars. You'll see my hands and my feet and my side. It's a reminder of the price that I paid for you, the price to set you free. Jesus is alive. And he is here right now. And yes, I put on a costume. I guess this means putting on Christ. I wanted you to see with your eyes and hear with your ears the things that he went through, the degree of suffering that he went through. He did it because he loves you. He desires to fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be Lord over your life. And you have a choice to play in that. When you surrender your life to him, Jesus when I rose from the dead, I first of all appeared to Mary, who was by the tomb. It was her that I cast out of seven devils from. And ever since that moment, she served me in the best way that she knew how. Then she went and told my disciples, and there were other witnesses that I appeared to. Then Peter and John came to the tomb, and they saw that it was empty, and they were thrilled. The empty tomb signifies a new beginning. Say this, say, today is a new beginning for me. It's a new opportunity. You can live a new life. All you've got to do is believe. Have faith. I told my disciples, I said, have faith in God. And if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say, you will have what you say. Then I told them that when you pray, if you have a desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. That's what it means to have faith. Then I appeared to the 10 because Thomas wasn't there. And so I had to appear to them again because Thomas didn't believe that I rose from the dead. And he told me, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I touch your hands and touch your side. And I let him. But I said, blessed are those who believe and don't feel or don't see. And then there were two of my disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus. And I was walking with them, but I hadn't revealed myself right away. And as we were walking, we were talking, they were telling me of the events of the past few days. And then I revealed myself to them. And they exclaimed within themselves, didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us? And they knew that I was alive. And then I appeared to 500 people all at once. They tried to seal my tomb. That didn't work. They tried to put guards on my tomb. That didn't work. There's no stone that can hold me down. There's no way of man that can keep my movement from going forward. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. My church is the called out ones, the ecclesia, those who I called out of darkness and into the light. The light is much better. There is no darkness in me. Then I appeared to seven of my disciples, and they were fishing. And Peter took off his outer garment and jumped into the water and he swam ashore. See, Peter had denied me. But yet, when I rose from the dead, I was a new man. The things that happened before didn't really matter to me. It's what happens after that I was concerned about. And Peter came to me. And I was making something on the shore. And I asked Peter, I said, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know that I do. Then I said, feed my lambs. Then I asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I do, he said. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Peter had a look on his face like, I can't believe you're asking me this. But then I said, feed my sheep. And Peter did. I didn't remember his denying me because that was in the past. I knew that he would come around because I prayed that his faith fail not. And Peter, he went on to be a great apostle of mine. He went on to preach on the first day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got born again in his message. He didn't any more deny me, but he went on to do great things. And how about you today? What is your relationship with me like? Jesus, he said, whosoever believes in me will have everlasting life. And that's what the cross, the burial, and the resurrection is all about. It's about having eternal life right now. Eternal life doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I've got good news for you. He's already forgiven you of all your sins. And he's willing to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's willing to give you a clean slate, a fresh start, a brand new day. He's made that provision for you. And you can accept it or reject it. Amen. I'm going to step out of character now. And I come to you as a pastor. And it's my earnest and sincere desire that every time we gather together, that you see Jesus, that you experience his presence, you feel his love, and you know him. That is the greatest thing that you could ever know in this world, is to know the Lord. He loves you. He died for you. He rose for you. And he is literally praying for you. The Bible says he's our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And this resurrection day is all about how he won. He made a show of the devil openly. Amen? And I hope that you enjoyed the illustration. Amen? It was something I've never done before, but we'll probably do more of maybe. But I want to give an opportunity if you're here today. And Matt, if you can play something. I want to just give you an opportunity if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you're not sure whether or not you would go to heaven if something were to happen to you tomorrow, well, you can make that decision right now and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why we do what we do here is to see people get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's for you to have all that God wants you to have. Amen? So if you're here and you don't know what would happen to you, you can come and know the Lord. You can come and meet my best friend, my Savior. I met him when I was age 12. Probably about your age, Elliot. That's when I first came to know the Lord, back in LaSalle, Illinois. So I want to give you an opportunity that if you don't know the Lord, you can know him today. Secondly, maybe you know the Lord, but maybe through the cares of this life and the lust for other things, maybe you've got taken away from your purpose and you need to reconnect. You need to get plugged in again. You need to make it right with your Father. I want to give you an opportunity to make it right today. Amen. And thirdly, maybe you need power to live. Well, he'll give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He said, if a son asks for a fish, his father's not going to give him a rock. Or if he asks for something else, he's not going to give him a scorpion. The Bible says your Father knows how to give good gifts to them that ask him. And he said he'll give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him. The Holy Spirit is there to help you live. He's to empower you. He's to transform you. He's to refine you. So if you're here today, I want just everybody close your eyes for a minute. I don't want anybody looking around. And if that's you, I just want you to put your hand up right now in Jesus' name. Just put it up and put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. If you don't know the Lord, if you need to reconnect with him, or if you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when Jesus became the firstborn from the dead, rising. And he'll help. See, when he rises, he brings you up with him. He brings you up higher, to a higher standard of living, to a higher life. Any other hands? I see that hand. Thank you. Any others? Don't miss this opportunity. I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. See that other hand. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit begin to move in our hearts right now in Jesus' name. And I ask everybody to stand up. Hallelujah.